Oh, I was muted. Sorry about that. We're going to get started tonight. Michael's having a few problems with the internet, so we're going to take over for him for tonight and pray that he gets on. We're going to ask the Lord to bless us through the meeting tonight. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you that you are with us. We praise you for the salvation that you brought us into. The enlightenment of this time, this age, and the grace that you're pouring out in our hearts, Lord. We just thank you for the greater things that will be done in the earth today because you are with the Father, and we thank you for that. We praise you for the work you're doing within each and every one of us, preparing us the way of the Lord within us, and we thank you for that. Just ask you to be with us in this time. Bless us as we continue to look to you, to worship you, to trust you for answering our prayers and to bring us into and guide us into that place where you want us to be. Guide our conversations tonight, Lord, and bless us as we continue seeking you and trusting you for your guidance and your love. And we just love you, Lord. So we praise you, Lord. We ask you to a special blessing on Michael and the internet down there and get it up and running so he can join us in due time. And we thank you for that. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. So again, we are Michael's postponed for a little while here until you get the internet up and running. So we're going to just open it up for prayer. And anyone has a prayer request or anything, we'll trust the Lord and take it to the Lord in prayer. So anyone have anything they want to share or a prayer request? And I'm not running out. No prayer tonight. This is going to be short. There's George. Go ahead, George.
Hey, I wanted to ask for agreement in prayer that God would give us some answers and guidance for a mission in Haiti that I'm helping a friend with, and got flooded recently and walls got knocked down and the priorities are getting all turned around and we're trying to figure out what we need to do with the school and the mission and church down there. So I'm just asking for God to give us clear guidance and wisdom. And Father, I thank you that when we ask, you give abundantly, so we do receive wisdom concerning this church and mission and how to go forward. So we thank you, Lord, that the harvest is yours and every part of this work is yours. And we don't labor in vain, Lord, that we build on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord, for making it clear for us and giving us peace and being led by peace and imperfect rest concerning this work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in Haiti as well as the rest of the world, Lord. We just ask that you would give George and the ministry a clear understanding of what needs to happen there in the area of our prayers. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your blessing of leading us. We thank you for the work that you're doing in Haiti. We ask you, Lord, to bring a revival and send forth your Holy Spirit into that space, into that environment, and bring forth laborers to the harvest. Bring forth your spirit and take over that place. And we thank you for it, Lord. Just grant us grace to be understanding and sensitive to the participation you want us to be involved in that area. In Jesus' name, amen. George, are you, do you have a specific missionary down there that you're praying for, or is it just a complete work that's happening there?
It's a work that my friend's dad started in 82 down there, and they've had a school that got up to about 1,200 students, but it's since the earthquake and now floods, it's just compounded problems, and we've got a church there with several families, and we're just trying to deal with the local leadership down there we can't go down there. It's been a few years since anybody's been able to go down, and it's just basically sending money down and trying to help keep a school going for the poorest of the poor, basically. There's a lot of other bigger missions and more well-funded schools and churches and things around. And this is just something that we don't advertise. We don't try to fundraise. It's just faithful people keep giving for decades, and God's supported it. But we've come to a time where, you know, there's just... We don't know what to do next, how to help, and we don't want to just keep giving money. And the result, you know, we don't know if their heart for the Lord is there's no way for us to really communicate very well and disciple and try to make sure that it's not the concerns aren't with fashion or with things of, you know, bringing them into the modern era as much as it is just building people. So that's our heart right now, seems to be to try to make sure we're connected with people that want to disciple men and women to look after the poorest and the least, the last, and the lost, and see, you know, the last shall be first type of scenario down there. And that's kind of where we're at right now. We're trying not to get sucked into just throwing more money down there to try to pretend that things can just go on in a natural type of way. We definitely need supernatural, the normal Christian life down there, which is miracles and signs and wonders. So, that's what I'm hoping for, is that God will give us some way of pouring into, and the money that we do send, that it will be multiplied and work in a way that people can't deny that it's God. I don't want to have to try to twist people's arms or anything like that. So it's it's just patience, basically.
Do they have an internet?
Well, we've sent a bank of lithium batteries down there, and we've had trouble with generators and some theft. And we're working with a guy who's supposed to, for the last couple of years, been supposed to be hooking us up with solar. And, you know, even a small generator could charge those batteries to get us through for long periods of time. And it's just like, it seems like it's practically impossible to get people to just source the right stuff and work towards a goal. And now that our wall has fallen down with this last flood, it seems like the biggest priority is to rebuild a brick wall when we've got, you know, people who have lost everything. They're, you know, they don't even have anything to lay down on. Basically, the flood took all their possessions, and it just seems like priorities are so, it's beyond my understanding. So we're trying to hit the pause button right now to just reassess, you know, what are we doing down there, and where is God's heart in all this, how to communicate that to our leaders. We do have a pastor and a director of a school that we trust, and we've got some long-term teachers that care about these kids. But it's really, it's in my mind, it's come to a time where just playing school and reading, writing, and arithmetic might take a back seat to actual spiritual development and getting the word into these people. So trying to explain that to our leadership and get them on board, they really want things to just keep going as normal, and it's just hard to do that with it's just a miracle that it's even lived as long as it has, I guess.
Wow. Anybody have any thoughts related
we've got,
to that?
Just to give you a little reference, we've got some of the only buildings that were left standing in the 2010 earthquakes in that area of Leogon. We had structures and buildings and a church that were still standing when everything else got shaken down. So like medical and different ones were coming in and using our facilities to distribute and try to help people. So we're still sort of a food depot. We get food and we're able to feed kids and do a lot of stuff like that. But my thinking is that we're going to have to probably redirect the mission towards more of a spiritual center and a food depot and, widows and orphans type of thing for a little while we wait for the country to figure out their government and a lot of other normalcy, because the school gets disrupted like 9 months out of, or 6 out of 9 months that we're in session, we can't hardly even go to school anyway.
Wow. Sounds like we need to pray that God would raise up the awareness of the leaders down there to give them a vision, or more of a vision, for God's word. Because it's easy to say that up here, but when you're struggling, like George is saying, to find a place to sleep or food to eat that day, it's hard to fathom. I mean, it's hard to think about, hard to wrap my mind around right now, because, we live in such a different environment. Father, just thank you, Lord, that even these situations, you're well able to direct us, to provide for us in every way. And Lord, I just pray for the leaders in this area that George is praying for as well, and that you would open up their eyes to the promises of your word. And in the midst of this pressure, Lord, I just ask that you would provide what they need, the specifics of what they need, whether it be food, shelter, strength to seek these things out, to seek you for your benefits in the word. And Lord, that through this process, you would raise their awareness. You would raise our awareness of the provision that you provide in your word, for the truth of the gospel that scatters all through the every aspect of our life to grant us and provide for us what we need as we put our faith and our confidence in your word. And Lord, I see that as a necessity for all of us, obviously. And we just ask you in this time to grant what they need in this situation and strengthen them and bring them into this awareness of your massive provision, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and guide them in Jesus. Amen. Any other prayer requests or praise reports? Go ahead, Ben.
Hello, everybody. I have a testimony, and after all, I'll ask for a prayer that's about the testimony. So this weekend, I had a wedding to go to, and it was a good wedding because everyone in there, well, I would say a majority of them were Christian, and they all believed in Christianity, and they were like, it's very like uplifting to just kind of see like a wedding that was kind of based off of that belief in Jesus Christ. Like, I don't know if they were spirit-filled people or anything like that, but it was very different to the weddings that I've been going to, because, you know, they were secular, but these people were, you know, they all at least believed in Jesus, and it was very eye-opening. And there was a testimony made by the bride's grandmother that Karen asked me to pray for. And she was, I think she had some form of cancer. And that's what the doctors were saying, at least. And we were all praying it down in the name of Jesus. And then she was there for the wedding. And she said it was all because of God. It was all, he gave me an extra 7 months to see my granddaughter get married. And she's like, now I'm going to see my grandsons. And so she was a bit bold with it. She was very bold in telling the bride and the husband that it's all up to God. And, you know, I hope you all do well in life, but the main focus is to get right with God. And it was very encouraging. And, you know, a little bit of the spirit came into me and I started worshiping it right there, right at the table. And anyways, that was a good testimony. And then at the venue, there was the second wedding. And at the other wedding, one of my old friends from high school was there. His name's Ishan. And I was able to say hi to him. And then, you know, we were just talking and he said, oh, it's such a beautiful day. Glory to God. And I was like, you're Christian? And he said, yeah, don't let the color of the skin fool you. I'm a Christian. Because he's from the Middle East or Southeast Asia. And I was just like, oh, I don't judge the color of the skin. But and it was just very, also very encouraging because I was able to tell him my testimony and all that. He was very interested in the dream that I had. And so I'm talking to him right now, and we're probably going to get together. And, you know, I asked Jake, and I was like, do you know Ishan was a Christian? He said, yeah, I think I saw him at a church that I was going to. And I said, you know, he said we should all get together. And I'm like, that would be awesome. And so we're probably going to make plans to get together, and, you know, we're going to talk about God, probably. You know, what else are we going to talk about? So I'd also like prayer, like if the meeting happens or if we all get together, that it goes well and that we all grow in the Lord together. And, you know, I guess like thoughts in my mind are just like flowing through it. And I'm like, maybe we'll start like a healing ministry and we can start that, but I don't want to put anything in my own. I want the God to lead us into what we need to do and what we need to talk about. And I'll start out with this prayer. Father God, I want to thank you for the encouragement that you give me, for the wisdom that you give me, because it's all by you, God. It's all by your grace. It's all by your mercy. Lord Father God, I pray for more encouragement with my two brothers, Ishan and Jake, that you bring us together in fellowship and that we can get to know you better and to be surrounded by your spirit, Father, and that we'd be led by your spirit. We thank you, Father, for this spirit because it's the spirit that brings us together. It's the spirit that makes us one, for you make us one, Father. And all of this fellowship is what we crave, and you give it to us, Father, so that we can be that light in the darkness, so that we can be that sweet, savory smell to the people that are perishing, so that they can see the light in the darkness, and that there's a different path of life. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just agree with Ben's prayer, and we thank you for your answer, Lord. We thank you for guiding him and bringing him into unity with fellow believers. Lord, we thank you for the drawing of the Holy Spirit that's happening here in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Joe, go ahead, buddy.
Morning, everybody. I got two things. First is a praise report. On Friday morning, you all agree with me for my right ear. Well, yesterday morning when I woke up, everything is fine. So my ear has been healed.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for that. And the second thing is, well, I should have asked Michael, but it doesn't matter. I want to suggest that we have some communion one other time. You can just ask him when Michael comes and just want communion. I'm not sure if anybody wants to agree with me or what, but I just want to ask Michael for that. Some communion. Thank you.
Amen. Will do. That's up to you, Julie. Ask Michael. Sounds good, Joe. Anyone else for prayer or praise? So what are we thinking about tonight? Oh, there's Isaac. Go ahead, buddy. I must have made him mad, huh? He bailed. Nope, can't hear you. Can't hear you, Isaac. Nope, still not.
He may have to go in his mic there and check to see if everything's working properly. Little arrow beside the mic there. And...
Yeah, I think the last time he had to call in on his phone or something. Nope. I'll let him get back to us. So what is what's everybody been thinking about here this week? What's the Lord doing with you guys? Nothing. Hi, Vanita. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to share what a blessing it's been to have that thing that Michael emailed over to us about healing and confessing the healing and just, you know, speaking the right way in the promises of God and what he's given us already. And that's just been such an encouragement to me and such a such a help. Just to be able to focus on that. I really needed that. I don't know. I guess I really needed that just to help me put all the verses kind of together that just confirm what the word says so that I could just keep it in my mind all the time and just be praying it and thinking it and believing it all the time. So just praise the Lord for whoever put that together. And that was such a blessing to me. And I also just, I guess that's it. Yeah, that's it for now. Thank you. Amen.
Did you, one of the things that on the last praise and worship night, I think it was the last two videos that Michael presented, and it was the one of, I don't remember who it was exactly, but it was the one where they were calling out the names of God, and it was about 12 minutes long. And man, when I was listening to that, it just kind of brought tears to my eyes as we were going through and listening to that and the repetition, and it was just amazing. And then, it was like you have so many different names of God, and it brings a thought to your mind immediately, and then you don't have time to dwell on it because you're moving right into the next one, and it brings that thought in your mind, and then you have to stop and move on to the next one. It was just so contrary to what I my natural tendency is to look at something and just sit there and focus on it and think about it and meditate on it and whatever. But there was no time to do that. But it was such a blessing. That thing was 12 minutes long. And then right after that, there was the, what was the pastor that his message, I think it was a song or it was a message that was, "Do you know him?" You know what? I might have to look it up and listen to it again. But no, it was absolutely beautiful. Go ahead, Drew.
Are you asking, do you know him? That's my king?
Yes. Yes. That was kind of the second one. The one before that was the one of naming the names of God. It's just, it was amazing. Go ahead, Ben. You're muted.
There we go. Figured it out. Just to kind of add on that video, it's quite like very encouraging because all those titles, the Lily of the Valley, the God of Peace, He is Peace, He is my salvation. All those titles that He has, that God is within us. All those things that He is. That's what He's given us. He's given us that gift of Him dwelling within us and living through us, all those things. I don't know. That's just kind of like what my dad and I were kind of talking about after Michael showed that video. And it's kind of got to go like, whoa, like this is what just kind of like leading into what He gave us. Like, it's good to know these words, but like, again, the words need to go through us. Anyways, amen.
Pat, you're muted.
No wonder I couldn't get a response. Isaac, are you there, buddy? No, still can't hear you. He's going to try it. He'll try it again, I'm sure. So what else? Any other thoughts coming to anybody? What's the Lord been doing? I know that I got a special blessing out of this last message that David gave, and it was the very end of the message. He was talking about Abraham, that he's talking about the failure, that Abraham was in failure basically all his life, or shall we, in the flesh and suffering through his own poor choices, etc. And David was mentioning how that even though he caught it at the end, I don't know if anybody's heard the message related to that, but he caught it at the end and God brought back his faith at that time and gave him the blessing of the son that he had promised him. Even though over all those years up to that point, Abraham was in failure. But I thought it was interesting as he was, the thoughts that were coming to my mind about that. What, isn't it interesting that the Lord led him to a place of death at the very end? He had died to the hope of his old man. And through that process, whether it was a cause and effect, I'm not sure, but he entered into the faith and the trust in God when he was at that place of total inability to fulfill his own promise, or the promise that God had given him. And I just thought it was encouraging. And I think his encouragement was to reach out, trust the word, and confess the word, and confess the blessing, confess the truth, confess that word, and trust it, even in the midst of our struggles and even in the midst of our failures. Continue to confess that word of truth and promise, and expect the results, because there's a purpose there. As a matter of fact, the Lord is taking me back personally this week, taking me back and looked at those scriptures related to letting our light so shine before men. And this week, there's a little bit of a blessing that I had this week when I was listening to the message. I asked the Lord on the way to work to, I kind of confess that, you know, my own personal getting involved in, you know, in the workaday world and constantly with my mind focused on work and, you know, the whole world situation here, is asked him to give me grace. I had to kind of repent of not making Christ known, not even in my environment of work, not looking for that opportunity to let my light shine, to let the light that God's given me shine. So I kind of repented of that on the way to work and asked him to lead me to somebody. And interestingly enough, as the day wore on, I met with an individual that came to my project, to my job, for a particular purpose or task that he was supposed to do. He was an inspector. And I made a couple comments, and one thing led to the next. And pretty soon we were talking about the Lord and, you know, asking me if he was a Christian. Yes. And we were talking about the Lord and some of the things that are happening, told him some good books to read, etc. And I could tell even in that time that we were on the same wavelength. I mean, it's like I could mention a few things, and I could see that he was clicking. He knew exactly where I was talking, you know, what I was talking about. And he definitely saw the deeper picture of what's happening in the world today. But it was literally the very same day after that prayer. And the Lord just blessed me with that. And I made a new friend through it. It was a little bit unusual because both of us, there's this environment in the world today, in the workaday world, where you're hesitant to mention, say that you're a Christian or put any input in there whatsoever related to Christianity or the Bible or the Word of God, or you're just tendency not to do that. I mean, I don't know if there's any legalities concerned with it or anything, but has anybody else had that problem at work, being free to speak for the Lord or speak the Lord's word? Anyway, the Lord gave me kind of a blessing of answering that prayer. So praise you, Lord. So what's anybody thinking? What's the Lord doing in your guys' life? Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I got a phone call today from my sister, and right when I was doing my study, and I managed, this is my older sister, I managed to get, this is out of the blue, phoning me, and, so she phoned me for no reason, actually, and, because there was no reason to phone me. She did mention my son's birthday coming soon, but and I managed to get some of those words out too, Pat, like today. And I talked about similarities of that which was in the past to what it means today in the spirit, you know. And I got to even throw in a few verses there about salvation. And how her to see the new life that would be within her. And there was like a hesitant, because I applied the circumcision, the physical, in the Old Testament to the spiritual. In Romans 2:29, I told her it was somewhere around chapter 2 of Romans for the spiritual circumcision. And I talked about it. Israel, you know, and then had to explain to her it's not a physical city, but it's a spiritual city. And then I talked about life. I said, yeah, there's a new life you can have too, not a physical life, but a spiritual life. And she sort of caught on for a couple of seconds there. So I prayed about that right after the phone call happened, and she just encouraged me to go call people in the family, you know. But I kind of wait for them to call me, and it worked there with her. And on Monday I went for a bike ride. I think it was Monday, could have been Sunday, not sure now. But I went for my bike ride all the way down to the Rideau Falls here in Ottawa. And on the way back, it was way there. Well, no, it was on the way there. I went by the river prior to this, the first time I did this pathway, and I said, next time I come by here, I'm going to check the fishing spot, see if there's a good deep part of the river there where I can go fishing. But the time I went there yesterday, I think it was, there was a man there. And he looked about my age, but he was 10 years older than me. So I went in with my bike and walked toward the river, and I asked him, what you looking at, you know? And he just said, oh, nothing much. Just wanted to come down here by the river. And I say, well, I thought maybe you were checking to see if this is a good fishing spot like I am now. And we had a bit of a nice conversation. And I managed to witness to him too. And I got like three real powerful verses there about being a partaker of Christ, you know. I told him, you know, Peter told us that you have exceedingly great and precious promises to be partaker of the divine nature. And Paul told us that we're partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. Even got the famous verse out of my mouth, that 2 Corinthians 3:18, to show him that. And he's listening intently, you know, and in the conversation, I noticed he had an accent. So I was curious, you know, because my parents had an accent to their English, and I knew it was a European one. So I'm trying to guess the country, and I'm listing off. You don't know, it's a central country. And I'm listing all the countries in Central Europe. He goes, no. he was from Hungary. And he said that he was, he does have a Polish name, because when the Austro-Hungarian Empire was an empire, when Poland didn't exist anymore, they took part of Poland. So he could have been from that ancestry. So anyways, I got, and as I walked away, I turned back and called out, I'll pray for you. So if I ever meet this guy, I know he's 10 years older than me, and he still rides a bike and goes around, you know, biking. So on a 10 speed, on a pedal bike. And I hope I see him, because I like going down there on the bike path, because it's the only path that I never rode on, because it was not in the area where I used to live, but it's in this area. So it's like I've been living in Ottawa almost all my life, and this is like the first year I ever went down this bicycle path. So I just thank the Lord for these brief meetings and these brief encouragements to make the good confession, you know, just not to look at it as a negative way, you know. And I guess it was good, because, you know, I would go to someone who I think was my age, but I ended up that he was older than me. I just pray that this guy, I don't know his name or anything, it was just one of those, you know, my first ride out there, you know, I went, I'm going to check that place out, but I wanted to get home. And then the second time I went through and I saw the place was there, and I said, well, today's the chance I can check it out. And then there was someone there. So I thought maybe the Lord set it up for me after, you know, that he was going to make sure a person was there, because it's very much off the side of the bike path underneath the bridge where the train goes over. We have a subway, and that's where it goes over the river, goes under the canal and then over the river. Anyway, it was just an encounter to hopefully get this man who's over 70 now, and to maybe read the Bible, because I told him you should read a Bible, you should find a Bible and read it. And I witnessed those very good verses, I think. And it's the power of God and his word that can do it. And of course, the witness today with my sister phoning me out of the blue. And that's good too. So praise and glory to God for my chance to witness of not only who I am, but to make the good confession before many witnesses, as it says in 1 Timothy 6 and 12. Fight the good fight of the faith, lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thee were called, and didst confess the good confession before many witnesses. Even though these witnesses might not know, but we want them to know. We are available for even for God to use us for a John 6:44 too. No one can come unto me unless the Father draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So at least some word came out of me for some person that I didn't know, and of course for my sister again. And I just prayed after the phone call that the Lord would have her remember those words, and to remember the parable of life, from one life to the new man, from the old man to the new man, from one end to the other, that there's parables, allegories, types and shadows, and proverbs, and these words that have to be discerned in the spirit. So I told her some really interesting things. Anyway, only the Lord can make it go where it wants to go. And that's what I prayed about too. So praise and glory God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Andrew with a meeting and his sister and whatnot. We just trust you, Lord, that the seeds that were sown, that you bring them to fruition in their lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's Morgan and Geneva and Micah. Go for it.
Hey, everyone. Can you hear me? Okay.
Loud. Absolutely.
Well, I have some praises, and then I want to ask for prayer. The last time I was on here, we kind of had a lot going on the past few weeks, just with moving and everything that, you know, happened with Morgan's grandma, which the Lord took her home, last Saturday, I think. You know, we know that she's with the Lord, and, you know, everything they did was really beautiful, and they just spoke about Jesus the entire time, and that was really awesome to hear. So, you know, just giving God the glory, and thankful to be there with family and, be there, you know, when she was, her last few days. So anyways, thank the Lord for that. But I do want to say, you know, I know we've all kind of been having our own, trials and things we've been going through, and me and Morgan, we've kind of had our own little things we've been going through, not like with one another, just, you know, just everyday life type stuff. Anyways, and without, I guess, saying too much, but I just feel like the Lord has really blessed my faith in a way I haven't really known before. And he's also like just kind of revealed to me a lot of things about myself that were deep rooted that I didn't even know, like pride and just a bunch of just being more like Jesus, you know. And the Lord has really just opened up my heart to receive, I guess what I'm trying to say here, just to, you know, to be open to receive the healing from, you know, those spirits and things. Just funny things I never even noticed about myself. And, you know, it's just awesome how merciful and how graceful the Father is, and how his timing is always perfect. And, you know, like just with us finding this house and everything, like how spot on everything was. I'm just really thankful, I guess, through this process that we've been going through for the past few months, really, you know, the more and more, it's just like the Lord's revealing to me, like, well, this is why this didn't happen at this time. And this is why this didn't happen at this time. And this is why this is now happening. And it's just like, I'm just so thankful for trusting in the Father's time, and just knowing that he's always going to take care of everything. You know, what an awesome Father that we have, that we can just put all of our trust in him. And, you know, even when we come short of it sometimes, like he's still just his grace, you know, and his mercy in those moments. And, I don't know, I'm just thankful for the Lord. And I want to say that through all of this, you know, this is something we've been praying for a while. You know, me and my mom's relationship has always been kind of rocky, right? And, you know, like when I was pregnant and we were living in Florida, you know, mom had moved down there and it didn't really work out. And, you know, but the Lord had given me dreams, of mom and of our relationship. And I've had so many dreams, and, I seriously mean this, within the past few weeks, I have seen my mom have like a heart change. And I really mean this, like she has been, me and her can just sit in a room together and she's not rambling on about, you know, things that she used to talk about that weren't okay to talk about and stuff like that. And she's now just level headed, if that makes sense, whatever that is. I don't know, but, it's definitely, I'm comfortable with her now. And, you know, she's been able to just be so excited when she see when she sees Micah. You know, it's crazy how the Lord can use little children to captivate a person's heart, you know, and just to change them. Which I mean, obviously, you know, it's through the Lord that does that, but how a little child can be used in that process. And, you know, my mom comes over now, like every day before work, so excited to see Micah, and we make breakfast for her. And it's just little things, that there was times I thought I would never get to experience, like as my mom getting to be a grandma, the way that, you know, the way that that we'd wanted it to be. And I feel like it's happening now. And I know that this has been a long time coming, and I just want to thank the Lord for, just for growing me and my mom's relationship. And it's also been a lot, I don't want to say just either my mom being the one to change, but me too. You know, I mean, obviously I had areas that I needed to change, and, you know, the Lord has just blessed me with an amount of patience. I think too, just through these trials I've been going through, I've definitely gained more patience. And, you know, it's just awesome. I guess, what I'm trying to say is I'm just really thankful for this season that I'm in. The Lord's shown me a lot. I'm learning a lot, but, I'm just grateful for my mom and, just for sweet little Micah and, you know, for my husband and just the family, that we have, you know, Isaac, Mariana, all of you guys, just thankful for love and support and for an awesome heavenly Father. So I say all that, and then I have a prayer request. I've actually had a terrible headache try to come over me for the past 4 hours, and I've been just fighting this thing, but I just want to tell it to be gone in the name of Jesus, and to my head to be at complete peace. And, any rapid heartbeats or anything of that sort, or any anxiety, just any attacks, like I command it to flee and be gone in the name of Jesus, that's trying to cause any physical symptoms or stress or anything of that sort. It has to go right now in Jesus' name. And I command my head, Lord, to be completely normal, better than before. Amen. And I don't have any more headaches. And that, Father, I rebuke any blurred vision or anything of that sort, or sugar levels, any lies from the enemy trying to come over me. We just cast that down right now in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that I'm healed. And thank you, God, for blessing me with, confession, and that I'm confessing this and it's done in Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, we agree with, Geneva right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the household salvation. We thank you for the provision of your healing for her right now, and us in your word, Lord. By the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. And we just agree with Geneva on this in Jesus' name, and thank you for it. Anybody else would want to pray for Geneva and the family while we're here? Okay. Ben, go ahead, buddy. You're still muted. Did Ben leave us? Must have. There he is. Nope. Go ahead, Isaac.
We're going to try this one more time.
There he is.
Yeah, I don't know what's going off my computer here. It just needs a good old rebuking. You know what? And everybody likes to rebuke something. So anyways, I need to rebuke this computer. So anyways, I just want to tell y'all something that happened to me the other night. You know, I don't know. I just been thinking about, I just been thinking about all those children that are taken captive, and it's been on my heart for some time now. And I've been praying for them quite a bit. And, I was sleeping the other night, and it was like I was asleep, but I couldn't tell you for sure that I was, but I can tell you for sure I wasn't awake because I don't know that I was coherent. But I was at this point, and it wasn't necessarily even like a dream. I just don't know what it was. But I felt like I had the Lord's ear. I felt like Jesus was there, and I was able to tell him something. And I had one thing to say to him, but I had his ear right there. And this is just what come from my heart. And I just said, Jesus, please save the children. And that was it. And I don't know, man. It just kind of stuck with me. And then that night after that, I had a dream that I was as one of the children. And I was taken captive by these people that were trafficking children. And I only remember bits and pieces, but they took me out to like me and these other children. I don't know who they were, but it took me out to like this boat, and they are taking us almost like overseas. And it was just real sad. But the Lord wasn't going to let us be taken. And somehow, I don't know, but the police and my mom showed up. And they went and they just grabbed these people and they locked them up and saved all the children. And I don't really know exactly what it means, but I know I have had dreams before where the police sometimes do represent angels. And I could believe that my mom could represent the church. You know what I mean? I know she's fierce speaking in the natural. Boy, you see her get going, man. She's a fierce lady. And so, and that's no joke, man. I'm telling you the truth. And she's determined. She is determined. But I'm not sure that's exactly what it means, her per se. But that was my night. And I don't know. I kind of don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm just telling y'all. And you know, I just you know, if you wouldn't mind, and I'd like to say a prayer for the children. And y'all would believe of me, just because let me read a word to you. I just opened this up today, actually. I just opened up to it, you know, randomly, and it was Psalms 146, I think. Let me get there. Psalms 146, real quick chapter. And it says, and the kind of title of it says, "Praise to Jehovah, the Abundant Helper." But I'll read it. It says, praise ye Jehovah, O my soul. While I live, will I praise Jehovah. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. And to stop there real quick, I know there's a lot of agencies and, well, we need this guy to do the job. We need this guy in politics. But you know what? Who our Redeemer is Jesus. It's the good Lord. It's God. And it says, his breath goeth forth. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Jehovah his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keepeth truth forever. And this is what really got me excited, kind of concerned what I was telling you guys about. Who executeth the justice for the oppressed, who giveth food to the hungry. Jehovah looseth the prisoners. Jehovah openeth the eyes of the blind. Jehovah raiseth up them that are bowed down. Jehovah loveth the righteous. Jehovah preserveth the sojourners. He upholdeth the fatherless and the widow. By the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. Jehovah will reign forever, thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye, Jehovah. And I just can't, you know, this is his word and what it says that he does. And I know it to be true. And there's a lot of, you know, kids out there that right now are not necessarily, I won't say fatherless in the sense that they have, you know, heavenly father, but in the sense of earthly. But you know what? He's going to uphold them and he's going to execute justice. And he's going to give food to the hungry and he's going to loose the prisoners. And I just know there's a shaking coming. And these kids are just, if you could only see, there's even miracles are happening. I still believe that they're just getting translated. But anyways, I'm going to say a little prayer if y'all would believe. Dear Lord, thank you, Father, for that dream, Lord. And, you know, whether, you know, spiritually, I can see it meaning multiple things, not only kind of natural what's happening in the world, but Lord, let it be not so, and I believe it's not. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you do set the captives free. He who the Son set free is free indeed. And Lord, thank you for the heart and the mind of the child, Lord. What a beautiful thing. It's just so beautiful. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for such a shaking you're doing in these worlds, in this world, and which you're bringing your people into perfection, Lord. And Lord, let's not be pulled in the direction of media, but Father, for the direction, be pulled in your direction, Father, for truth. But I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And can I say one more thing and I'll let it go? I read something in Matthew 22, and because I'm just going to be honest with you guys. Sometimes, you know, a lot of you know, you are parents, and, you know, you've seen all this before, and you went through it, and I'm just kind of going through it, and, you know, it's not like I was about to say, there's not really a book about being a parent. Well, then there is the Bible. So let me just correct myself. So the thing is I make mistakes being a parent. And sometimes I get a little too much onto my children because I feel like they're not getting the point. And I can be very stern. And I'm not saying it's right, but more in a sense of just confessing the truth and letting it be, repentant here. And that's kind of how I was raised. Geneva can testify to that. It was pretty strict in our early years. But sometimes I feel like I remind myself of my dad, and I don't want to be my dad naturally. He was soft at times, but sometimes he was excessively hard, and I'm not knocking him, but very, very hard. And, I know that, like David talks about, we're that 42nd generation, that generation of Christ. And that's what I believe. You know, I'm that seed of Christ, right? And so, I think about these things and I cast them down because I just don't accept it any other which way. But I asked the Lord to show me to be a better parent. I mean, I just asked him, you know, I mean, he would know. I mean, he's the one that is the Father. And so, and here's something he gave me. So it starts in Matthew 22, verse 34. But the Pharisees, when they heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, trying him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second like it unto it is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, the whole law hangeth in the prophets." And like talking to Mariana, we were talking about, and you know, she kind of, she knows I felt bad about it. And she told me, she goes, "Well, Isaac," she goes, "you got to see them not just as, you know, your children, but these are your brothers. You're getting back up You know, they're born from above, and it's your job and your duty to make, you know, to help raise them in that way so they shall not depart. And I'm like, yeah, I know in the grand scheme of things, yes, I know that. But in the moment, I lose sight of it, right? And, but here's, when I asked the Lord, he gave me that verse, and what he showed me was this, and I'll get off my soap opera, but in Matthew 22, verse 37, there's two things there. He says, and he said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's number one. And then it goes, then the second, like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, how can I love my children as thyself or my neighbors as thyself? How can, you know, and I've talked about this message of love before and have fallen short, most totally. But how can we do number two if we can't do number one, which is love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind? And he put that on me. And he said, this is what you do first. It's me you love. And then the other will come. You'll be able to, because your sight will be single. And that's what the Lord showed me. Oh, and I feel pretty good right now. I feel the Holy Spirit. That's refreshing. You know, it's just, I'm just thankful for a Lord and a Father that teaches us how to be fathers. But that's all I wanted to share. Thank you, guys. Bless y'all.
Amen. Thanks, Isaac. I guess I was thinking on in that dream, the thing that came to me, especially your comment about your mother, that she's a, I don't know if you said she was stern or she was forceful or, and I was thinking that, you know, like you said, that the angels were the, are the place where the angels and the woman or the mother was the church. And, I go back to that scripture that it just kind of hit me of Daniel's, interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar and what's going to happen. What is happening in that last kingdom when God carves out that stone of Christ out of the mountain made without hands, and it rolls down and it destroys all of the previous kingdoms in this last day, in this last age. And the Lord kind of showed me a few months ago. I kind of brought it back to my attention that the disciples or the people, the kingdom, that he is creating the kingdom of sons. And I don't say that related to gender, but sons as a position, is they will be able to do his work because they have his heart and his desires and his goals and his life and his purpose. And just as Jesus left out that second portion of the verses in Isaiah on the day of his presentation, related to the judgment that is going to be mixed with mercy in those people in this last age. And I think to me it was your comment about the mother and her forcefulness or whatever just spoke to me of the authority of that mother church in that day. And that just as though, and it's kind of like that, those bones that Ezekiel was looking out at the field there, those dead bones of the religious system and the structures of God's functioning in the world all the way up through the ages. And those visions and those dreams and those purposes and those structures and authority structures that were godly but lived out their life and died in the earth. God's going to raise all those up in these last days for this church in the end day, in this end day. And he's going to bring them all together in fruition, because the church of this coming day, to meet the needs of this coming time, is going to be the same, but a different church. It's going to take, I believe, a church of dead people that are dead to themselves and alive unto God. But anyway, that's kind of what I was just thinking about, that that dream that you had, Isaac. That was very good. Thank you. Any other thoughts? Amen. So, do you guys want to read? Go back to Sovereign God and take over there? What are we thinking? Let's do that. Julie, do you remember where we left off?
I think we finished a chapter, but I had another thought, and it's just a thought. I'll throw it out there. I know Michael has asked before if they're, you know, what our favorite promises, Bible verses, and that kind of thing are, too, which are always good.
All right.
I'm not sure where we are on Sovereign God, though.
What's everybody thinking? Flip some ideas out there. Go ahead, David.
Speaking of promises, I recently listened to a lot of the New Testament, not the New Testament, a lot of the Old Testament. And I started putting a lot of dots together. And I started to realize a very unique pattern for what happens when God steps in. And I've noticed that a lot of time, God's people, when they would conquer the enemy, the earth would quake. It happened multiple times in the Old Testament. And then when Jesus conquered the enemy, the earth quaked again. And we're hearing of a lot of quakes coming up, you know, and they're happening and all this stuff. And the people that know the truth, that study the word, that follow those people that don't have fear about, and they know what God is doing. And a lot of people have COVID. They see these questions, they start panicking. But that goes back to the part where Jesus said that the shepherd, the pastor, will be striked and flock will flock flee. The sheep scatter. And there's a lot of panic out there.
You're muted, Pat. I think here's David's back. I think his internet was low.
Sorry about that. Are you there, David?
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That sounds a lot better.
sorry about that. Service isn't the best. But, I don't know what y'all heard last. But, I mean.
I think the last time you were said something about the environment was terrible out there or something. Is that right?
Yeah, like with all these quakes going around, you know, people are panicking. And I mean, Jesus warned about that. He said that the pastors will get smitten and the sheep will flee. You know, they're going to start all over the place. But the closer we are to the Lord, the more we understand these things, the more we know what God is actually doing. And it's only by God's grace, though. You know, you can't just, I mean, like, you know, you can't just take credit and say, oh, the more I studied the book, the more wiser I got. And that's not the truth. It's the truth that God gave grace and he gives the wisdom. He's in control of it all. You know, I mean, look at the Pharisees. I mean, they knew the scripture front to back, you know, but they didn't know the truth. It wasn't revealed to them. But I mean, God's been working a lot. He changed a lot of my life, you know, and I mean, even I shared this locally, you know, we sing a song and there's a line in the song where, you know, it says, have you come to the end of yourself? You know, and I was thinking of that. And recently I was like, you know, I think I did finally come to the end of myself, you know, but that's what God's waiting for. You know, he's waiting for people to just come to the end of themselves just so he could lift you up. That way you can't say, oh, I lifted myself up. No, God lifted people up. When he built remnants and they betrayed him, he went and made a new one. And I believe he's starting something here. He's building a holy remnant just so it'll be pleasing for him. He wants it for himself. He doesn't want other idols. He doesn't want self in there because that's a big idol. I mean, God deserves it all. He really does. I mean, who am I to say that I know everything, you know? Because I don't. There's a lot. I mean, you could learn something every day and you still won't know it all. Because that's just God. I mean, can't know everything. But that's why he created a body. Each has their own part. You can't have two heads. You can't have 4 feet. Everyone's part of the body, but when everyone comes together, it is one whole body. And that's what God created. And he wanted to leave it that way. Now, and praise the Lord that it's such an honor that he chose us, you know. I think back sometimes and I'm like, Lord, you could have left me in that dirt, you know. But he said, no, I need you. and praise the Lord. I mean, we've seen how much miracles. I mean, I've been with DBM for almost 3 years and seen miracles upon miracles. I mean, I even remember some late nights we stayed up and we've seen deliverance just instant. I mean, it's beautiful. To me, it's such a beautiful thing. I mean, just last night, I mean, came home from the local meeting and in my spirit, like, what I've looked into was just being close with the Lord. I just wanted to be as close to the Lord as possible. And my spirit was troubled. And I came home and went out on my back porch and it's a beautiful night. And I just looked up into heaven and I cried out to the Lord. I was like, Lord, spare just one man. It was a battle that went on, you know, and I was crying out. My spirit was crying out for a single person. I was like, Lord, just spare this one man. And I knew that Lord was listening to me at that moment, because after I was done crying out to him, he comforted me. And he's always close and he's waiting, you know. Could be troubles we face, could be mountains we face. But Lord's always there and he's waiting for us to just kneel down before him and say, Lord, help me. That's the awesome God we serve. That in our times of need, he comes down himself. Him himself just comes down and comforts us. Supplies all of our needs just like he promised. She's got to submit it all to him. Daily walks have to be submitted to him. He will supply everything. I mean, even I could testify to that. There's so much times I tried with my own mind. I was like, Lord, let me help you really quick. And it all go down instantly. But whenever I go, Lord, it's all you. It's 100% for you. That's when he steps in. And when we back out is when he steps in. And thank you, Lord, that we could have a personal relationship with him. Because it's a truly wonderful thing. And it's a great honor to be able to have that kind of relationship. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, David. Thank you, Father, for your blessing and your presence in our life, Lord. Thank you for the spirit that you put within David and his family and strengthening him and bringing him into your awareness of your presence. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for sharing, David. I was thinking of, and David was talking about those earthquakes or those shakings. I think there was something in the message this week about that too, or maybe it was last week's. And it brought to my mind the days when I used to hang glide. And I had this experience over on the west coast, Pacific coast, where the winds blow inland at a pretty constant rate over there, and they blow up the sand dunes or up the beach. The beaches over there on the, at least on the Pacific coast, are the beach comes in about 200 or 300 feet, and then it raises straight, pretty close to straight up, for in some places maybe 200 feet. And it makes for a perfect, a constant breeze coming in on that beach, pushing the air up. It makes it a very constant and easy place to fly a kite or fly a hang glider. And I remember the experience, and this is after I had gotten a little bit more experienced in doing flying and controlling myself in the air. But I was standing on the top of the hill, up at the very top, and the wind was blowing through about 23, 24 miles an hour, and of course the sail flaps really loud, and it's fairly loud because you hear that constant clappering of the wind blowing through your sails, to the point where you're talking with people, you're almost yelling to be able to hear them. And then as I stood there, I lifted the nose of the kite up, and it caught the air, and it just very slowly lifted me off of the ground 2 or 3 feet. And then I could talk to the people that were standing right next to me in a normal voice, because it was so calm. Once you're lifted up in the air, you're a part of the air. And now it's very peaceful. And as long as you keep enough air going under you at the time, you can just hover there over the ground. And it was, at that time, it was so peaceful, and it just so struck me that as I was standing there, I wasn't in fear. Even though I was watching the ground fall away from my feet. And as I was thinking about that, that scripture came into my mind about in Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. And I was thinking about that this morning, for the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a law, meaning it always functions the same way. You can depend upon it. It's a law like the law of gravity. And I was kind of seeing the connection between having the understanding of how to control that kite in the air left me in a place where I understood the law and the mechanics of how that thing functioned. And so it removed, understanding that law removed the fear of being off the ground, because I wasn't depending upon myself. I was depending upon that law. And it just kind of equates to this, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, as we put our confidence in that law and become aware of its, of how it functions. That sounds a little bit mechanical, but as we get used to and in the understanding and trust in that law that is functioning there, we are made free from the laws of the earth that keep us bound and fearful connected to the earth. And so that was kind of the thing that I equated from it. I don't know how I got off on that, but it must have been something that somebody said. Anyway, praise the Lord. Any thoughts? Any other blessings? We're talking, as David spoke there, any other things that we want to bring up, talk about? Go ahead, Joe.
I'm just thinking about what David says. It's so, I'm going to be short. My dad, when I died, when I was 9 years old, I couldn't remember anything about him, anything. I couldn't remember anything. The Lord took away for a reason, because my dad was an atheist. I don't know what's the reason about that, but that doesn't matter. But what was David was talking about, if God is perfect, and what he's doing. But if you're looking at ourselves, we're also perfect, but we're perfect in what the Lord gives us to have faith in, to believe in ourselves, but we're doing our best. We can only do our best in what God gives us and trust him to work in us. He will show us. He will guide us all the way to where he wants us to be. I think it's God is so, love is so awesome, so perfect. We just have to listen to understand. And that's what he shows me. It's just be patient, have calm and peace of what I'm giving you. Trust me what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Just trust me. That's all I want to share. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Trust the Lord with all your heart. I wanted to read a psalm that I was reading this morning, which I thought was good. It's Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scorners or scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of waters that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. That was one of my first psalms that the Lord gave me a song. I put music to that psalm. I can't even remember what it was now. It was way back in the early 80s. But that verse 2 there, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And this, when I started reading that and thinking about it, in his law he doth meditate day and night. That's kind of when I started to see the difference between the law of the Lord and the law of Moses. And that same law of the Lord, which is revealed or pointed to in Romans 8, to the law of the Lord there that sets us free, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and death. I started seeing the difference between that law and the law of the Spirit of the law of the Lord. So it seems to be there's a difference there between obviously the law of Moses and the law of the Lord. But anyway, I just thought I'd read that. So we want to jump into chapter 14. Sovereign God. I can't hear you, Julie.
We got like 20 minutes left. Less than 20. I don't know if we got time to really get into it, but whatever anybody else wants to do.
One thing that I really enjoy that I would like to do one of these days, not necessarily now, unless somebody is so led, but that would be to listen to people's personal testimony of how they came to the Lord. Oh, my ears are going.
Can you hear me? All right. For some reason, I could listen to those all night, as the way that the Lord has taken various, people, and everybody has a different path that they've come to the Lord, but they've all gone through the same door. And to me, it's just so interesting to listen to, how everybody, it seems like, I don't know if it's like you, but there's always a scripture, a word that hits, that the Lord used one particular verse to bring it home, so to speak. And anyway, if one of these days, maybe we could share testimonies, it would be good for me. I love it. Does anybody want to jump out there and blast it? No takers, huh? Go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, it's just always a joy to talk about the Lord and give thanksgiving to him for what he's done for you. I was raised in the Disciples of Christ denomination. We went to church every week. And sometimes on Sundays, we would go in the morning and in the evening. My mom's sung in the choir. My dad was first a deacon and then an elder. But, you know, there wasn't any love in our home. But we went to church every Sunday and every time the doors were open. But you know what? I remember when I was about 5 years old, we always got there early and going to the into our little Sunday school room and being there all by myself and looking at those pictures in the Bible and seeing those pictures of Jesus on the cross. And, you know, I believe the Lord just really touched my heart, even when I was really young, just really, really young. And I wanted a Bible. I saved my money and we didn't get an allowance. So, you know, and my parents didn't have a lot of money, but I saved what little money I had. And we went to the five and dime store and my mom helped me get a Bible. I still have that Bible. It's got those pictures that the old Bibles used to have. And so anyway, but, you know, I had a lot of rejection in my life because there just wasn't support. And there wasn't love and confirmations of love in my family. And but I did love the Lord. I loved going to church. I was raised on the old hymns. And but when I got in, you know, to being a teenager, I got really rebellious. And, you know, just truly, you know, got into a lot of stuff that I shouldn't have. And, I guess fast forward to about 30 years old, I guess, Barry and I had just gotten married and, you know, the Lord was working in me then, the way he orchestrated bringing Barry and I together. And, he just started moving on my heart. He got me delivered of drugs just like overnight. You know, smoking dope was, you know, my favorite activity. And, just overnight, I was done. But then I had a big void in my life. And I started kind of, I think in my own way, kind of crying out to the Lord. And, you know, Barry and I went to church. But, you know, it was still, you know, just dead denomination and everything. But, you know, through all that, the Lord was bringing me along. And, you know, we were married for 8 years, had our daughter. And a few years after that, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it was really like being born again. I knew then that I was really saved. I knew then that the Lord had really done something in my life. It wasn't just something of, you know, you're a kid and you get baptized because you want to get baptized. You know, I knew that something had really, really happened to me. And so that was about 30 years ago. And I knew something had really happened to me because I immediately the day after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I threw my New Age books away. I'd kind of gotten into that, just went and put them in the garbage can, went upstairs, turned our guest room into my prayer room, started, you know, anytime that I could, I just wanted to be up there in prayer. And then the Lord started speaking to me about that I needed to read my Bible. And I said, well, you know, Lord, I work all day and I come home and I got family to take care of and I'm tired. And the Lord reminded me, he says, well, you have time to sit down and read the newspaper. So, you know, the newspaper went the way of, you know, the New Age books, quit reading the newspaper and started reading the Bible every day. And, you know, the Lord really took us on some adventures. Lord put it on my beloved's heart that, you know, we were going to leave Houston and get out of the rat race. And that was 25 years ago. We moved to Montana, had a real wilderness experience there. And then 19 years ago, he moved us here over to Washington State where we are now. And I guess it was in 2008, so about 15, almost 16 years ago, we hooked up with UBM, and we're just thankful. This is the place where we've really been fed, and we've really, heard the truth of the gospel. And, met, wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ, and realized that, this really is our real family. And I'm just thankful. I'm really, really thankful. I'm thankful for everybody here. I'm just thankful that the Lord has been so long suffering with me. And I think somebody else mentioned this earlier in the evening. It might have been David. But that's something the Lord has just really, really been putting on my heart. I'm thankful that we live here in a quiet place, have plenty of time to pray and to be in the Word. And just, we're just very, very thankful. So, praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Marilyn. Can I ask you a question? It sounds like you had more of an awareness being raised in the church of the Lord. But when you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that was really kind of the transitional for you, right?
Absolutely. It was just like, the light switch got turned on. And from it just being dead religion to, well, the Lord really loves me, and I really want to have a relationship with the Lord. And, I just wanted to pray. I bought myself a little keyboard for my prayer room. I started singing those old hymns, because a lot of those old hymns could actually be prayers, for the sanctified life. And Lord just started bringing hymns that I'd learned when I was a kid that I didn't understand to my remembrance. And I started singing and praying those old, a lot of those old hymns. And it's a great way to talk to the Lord.
Absolutely. The old hymns, I found, if you just read them, there's more theology in those than there is. And that's what sometimes the modern worship music kind of leaves things a little bit bland related to. Not that I'm against, the worship music of today, but it seems like it's a lot of it is has very little of the Word in it, I guess you might say, or whatever. So I love the hymns as well. It's interesting as you're saying that, though, because kind of my experience was almost a reverse situation, where I wasn't raised in the church or any kind of religious community. And so when I came to the Lord, it was specifically, it was an abrupt coming out, and gave my heart to the Lord related to the scripture. I can't remember the address of it right now, but it's related to I am the way, the truth, the life. But then the Lord led me into a Baptist church, I'll say, where they didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I moved in to the baptism of the Holy Spirit almost by I never really had I can't say that I never really had that, experience, but mine was kind of a growing into maybe a slower process or whatever. Then, and yours seemed to be exactly the opposite, kind of slowly came into Christ, and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit kind of flipped you. Mine was kind of the reverse of that, which unfortunately in my life is left questions and doubts and various different things like that that I've had to deal with through the process. But it seems like you maybe dealt with the doubts before that or misunderstandings or whatever. But anyway, you can go ahead. I was just batting things back and forth there.
Y'all hear me?
I do.
Hi, y'all.
Hey,
I can't Michael. Save anybody, but I can hear you.
Did you come in to save me, brother?
You got 4 minutes. You're doing a great job, I guess, because everybody's still there.
They're forced.
Awesome. Well, I don't know what's going on with my internet, other than the fact that I called in earlier, and they were working on the lines in three towns. We had three towns out, and my house was one of them. And they said it'd be on by 9 o'clock. Well, 9 o'clock has come and gone. So I decided to just call in to make sure everybody's okay. See how you're doing. You doing okay?
As far as I know, I'm still, okay. Still kicking. You'll have to go. Now, we just finished up with a testimony of Marilyn's testimony. I hadn't heard that before, so it was good.
Yeah, I heard that. She started. That's about when I came on, about 5-6 minutes ago.
You got your phone now, huh?
Yeah, I've got my iPhone on, but I can't see anybody.
Do you have power?
Yeah, I got power. I just don't have internet. They apparently cut a line or something has happened. They've lost something because, like I said, there's three towns that are out. Ours being one up here at Monor. So, anyway, that's where we are. Go ahead and carry on, Pat. All I can do is listen.
All right, brother. Well, we got a couple minutes left. Anybody have a prayer request or anything else that they want to say? Hi, Missy. How are you? Me too.
I'm blessed. I'll take a prayer for a safe trip home tomorrow. It's been a whole week already.
Oh, you're down there.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at?
Angelica's.
Oh, all right, cool. Well, how do you have internet?
Apparently it doesn't affect us for some reason.
Huh.
David and Michael might be different part of Anur.
What's that, Michael?
Yeah, she's in a different town. She's over in Madison. We're in Bonnor.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mono internet.
I gotcha. All right.
Actually, you say you're going back in the morning, aren't you?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes,
I'm going to come over and get the mattress.
I didn't hear what he said. It's probably good.
He said he has to come over and get the mattress.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead, Pat.
Well, let's get ready to close it out. We'll pray for Missy's safe trip. Father, we thank you for the blessing of tonight, Lord. We thank you. We pray also for Michael's internet to come back on and this thing would be corrected, and we thank you for that. We just pray for Missy, Lord, that you would we thank you for the protection that you give us all. We just trust you for the protection and guidance that you give Missy on the way home, the traveling mercies and everything else that is needed. Thank you for the time of refreshing that she's had down there. And we just ask you to bless us, bless Missy on the way home. Bless us all, Lord, with a continued sense of your presence. And we praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.